Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Back in my younger days, my father and I would often go fishing on Saturday mornings. We would wake up bright and early. Okay, Dad would come in and wake me up bright and early. We would load up the boat with our rods and reels, and we would head off to one of our favorite lakes. But before we would get there, my dad would always stop and pick up one thing in particular. That's besides the donuts. And that was bait. You see, the chances of getting a fish with a plain hook in the water is, well, slim to none. But if you put some bait on the hook, suddenly your chances of getting a fish increase tremendously. So why do I bring up this trivial fact about fishing? Because fishing is what Satan is doing every time he tempts you and me. And just like that fish who was so eager to eat the bait that he took at hook, line, and sinker, we often come to temptations of Satan the same way. No, we just don't nibble at what Satan puts in front of us. We swallow it whole. Hook, line, and sinker. So why is it that at times we're such an easy catch? Because just like those professional anglers we see on TV, Satan is also a master at his craft. One of our biggest errors is that we underestimate how truly powerful and how truly dangerous Satan is. Just look throughout the entire Bible. Nowhere in Scripture does it portray Satan as being an idiot. Instead, it's just the opposite. Scripture is full of warnings on just how dangerous the evil one truly is. For example, Peter writes, "Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around roaring like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Why such vivid language? Because Peter learned firsthand how cunning Satan can be. It was Peter who told Jesus on the night of Judas' betrayal, "I will never fall away." And yet within 24 hours, Satan would convince Peter to deny Jesus three times. Even Jesus, who we heard about in our gospel lesson this day, who withstood Satan's temptation, says of him, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So what makes Satan so good at what he does? Well, just look inside his tackle box and all the various baits he uses. Take Adam and Eve, for example. Satan said that they could be just like God, knowing good and evil. That's a mighty tempting bait. But it comes with a catch. You first have to disobey what God commanded you. And as we heard this morning in Judy's wonderful reading of that very short Old Testament reading for this day, they took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. That was just the beginning. Open the Bible to just about any page and you will see one of God's heroes being reeled in by Satan. How the likes of Abraham and Jacob, Moses, King Saul, and yes, even King David couldn't resist what Satan was offering them. And yet we can empathize with them because so often we have found ourselves as part of Satan's catch. Look back on your own life and you will find, as I have, far too many times when Satan dangled some sort of bait in front of us to which we couldn't or which we didn't say no to. Each time you were left scratching your head and wondering why you did what you did. But no matter how hard we tried to justify it, the truth is we did it. Like Adam and Eve, like all of our biblical heroes, we too took the bait of Satan, hook, line, and sinker. Yet for all the success Satan had, there was still the trophy catch that he wanted most of all, and that was Jesus. And so, meeting a hungry Jesus out in the wilderness, Satan casts out his first bait. Jesus, if you are the Son of God, say these words to the stones that they might become bread. Now again, Satan's no idiot. He probably had a hunch that his first bait wouldn't even result in a nibble from Jesus. But hey, it worked in the past on other people. Well, you might as well give it a try. That's why even after Jesus replied, man does not live by bread alone, Satan didn't pull up his anchor and call it a day. No, instead, for his next temptation, Satan found something more specific for Jesus. Going to the pinnacle of the temple, the center of worship for God's chosen people, Satan said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Your Father's angels will protect you, and you will have shown to the scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, who you really are. Now, certainly this bait should at least entice Jesus. Satan had to think that if Jesus could get these people to acknowledge who he truly is, the one who had come to save, the Messiah, that his road to the cross would be somewhat easier. Thankfully, Jesus knew this plan was not his Father's plan. Jesus knew he would have to be rejected by men before he would suffer and die. And that's why he replied to Satan's second temptation was a simple one. You must not put the Lord your God to the test. Well, we know Satan doesn't give up. So Satan casts out his finest bait yet. Taking Jesus to a high mountain and showing the world, these I will give you. Satan says, but you have to worship me first. Satan knew what Jesus was going to endure. And so did Jesus. The rejection of his people. The betrayal of one of the 12. Having to endure being arrested, beaten, and spit upon. Standing in front of the people with the shouts of crucify him, crucify him, coming from their lips. Being whipped and crowned with thorns as he carries his cross to Calvary. I can hear Satan try to sell this to Jesus. You don't want to go through that. Nobody wants to go through that. And look, I can make it all go away very simply. All you have to do is worship me. For any sensible person, they wouldn't even think about it. They would gladly take the bait, hook, line, and sinker. But Satan didn't make this offer to you and to me. Satan made this offer to God in the flesh. And thankfully for our salvation, he saw things differently than the world would. In order to fix once and for all the consequences of Satan's temptation to Adam and Eve, Jesus said no. If Jesus hadn't done that, his passion would have been without power. His crucifixion would not have counted, and there would have been no resurrection from the dead. Not for him, and not for anyone. But thanks be to our Savior that he did say no. In fact, Jesus said no to anyone and anything who tried to stop him from completing what his Father sent him to do. From his cradle in Bethlehem to his cross on Calvary, and every day in between, Jesus did what we couldn't do so that we might be saved. And now through him and only through him, our Savior, can we sinners be saved. I look at that picture, and I remember a time when my brother and I and my dad went fishing up in Minocqua. It seemed that every time we cast our lines out into the lake, almost right away a fish would take the bait and we'd reel it in. Put it plainly, the fishing that day was really good. If we look around our world today, if we look at our neighborhoods and our homes, and yes, even if we look inside our churches, the fishing for Satan's been pretty good too. So how do we make sure that we don't end up on Satan's stringer? First off, don't listen to him. He's a liar. It's what he does. It's who he is. Secondly, and of even more importance, use the gift of faith that God gave you in Jesus Christ. For through him, and him alone, can we say no to the lure of Satan's bait. Amen.